Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. We just touched on this morning. But you see, as you understand that Christ was that first man that was created in Genesis 1:26. The life of that Christ was transmitted into a body of flesh and, into a body made from the dust. The body that Adam had in the garden was not flesh and blood. The body that he had in the Garden of Eden was a body of light. He walked with God. He talked with God. He was one with God. He fellowshiped with God. He became part of the creative process in the Garden of Eden. So therefore, his body was a body of light. But when it came to the separation of the male from the female, or the female from the male, when the Lord God separated that woman from Adam, something changed. For as I said to you this morning, once you separate the soul and the spirit, once you separate the male and the female, you do not have a Christ that is able to function as Christ. Sure, Christ is still there because he is spirit. But that Christ cannot function until the soul and the spirit are together. Because the main issue, as far as the Christ is concerned, is reproduction. That's what it's all about. We are reproducing Christ, first of all, in us. Or we're birthing the Christ, let's put it that way better. We are birthing the Christ, which is your true identity. You will never walk in your true identity simply because I tell you Christ is your identity. You will never walk in that identity simply because I tell you you came out of God in the beginning. You will never walk in that identity simply because you believe, like Job, that you were there when God put the sun, the moon, and the stars up in space. You see, there's got to be something more than that. That's academic. What you have to do is you know now what your true identity is, and you have to birth that one in you. 74 years ago, I was born on this earth. And in my young years, in my childhood and through my teenage years, I was looking at my earthly father, who was a man that was nervous, who was a man that had an inferiority complex, who was a man that didn't quite know who he was, but a brilliant man with his mind. So he had some very good jobs that brought in enough money to make us comfortable and give us our education, clothing, and everything else. But you see, I looked at that man for the first 20 years of my life. And what do you think I did? I saw that man so much that the image was transmitted into me, and I birthed that man. I want to tell you, I became that man that my father was. I became that man. I birthed that man. Not consciously. I didn't go out deliberately to say, I want to be exactly like you. Now what do I, oh yeah, I'm looking, yeah. No, not like that. Not consciously, but unconsciously, because he was the one I looked at, because he was the one in my life, I began to birth what I saw in him. And I became that man. And you did exactly the same. You did exactly the same, every one of you. You birthed that person that you believed you were. And so I had an inferiority complex so bad that I used to carry a shovel with me. I would dig a hole everywhere I went, and I looked out at the world from there up. I got the worm's eye view of everything. I birthed that man. And you know, as a young man, I used to say to God, you know, God, this is the way you made me, and you're stuck with it. That's what I used to say to God. And you may have not said those words, but I'll guarantee you said, God, you made me like this. Yeah. See? You've done it too. God, this is the way you made it. He didn't make you like that. You were created in the likeness and the image of God. Can you hear it? In the likeness and the image of God. Not in the image of any man. But because God was invisible to us, and man was very visible to us, we took our cue from him, and that visibility of the humanity of our parents and others around us, that became the pattern, if you like, of the one that we became. We burst that person that you believed yourself to be. Now, there's where our problem is. Because God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. The end of all flesh. You better get ready, because I'm going to tell you, what you thought you were is not going to make it. It's not going to make it. What you thought you were is destined for death. And that's why we've got the cemeteries in the world today. Because one way or another, it's not going to make it. You're not going to walk the streets of gold if that's what you believe. You're not going to walk the streets of gold in that body you've got. You're not going to walk the streets of gold in the comprehension or the understanding or the vision that you have of your true, of your identity as it is now. Oh no. The end of all flesh is come before me. So here in Matthew 26, it says that Jesus came to Gethsemane. Gethsemane is the olive press. That's what it means. It's the olive press. So there is something that's going to happen here that's going to bring pressure into your life, so that that which is extraneous matter to you, that is all of the stuff that has no true reality in you, is going to be put out and separated from the stuff that God wants. And all that's going to be left out of this process are the stones, the seeds in the olives, maybe some of the skin, and whatever else. But the oil, the good stuff, that which man wants and needs, is going to be taken out. That's what is precious in the sight of God, in you. Can you understand this? So whatever else there is in you today, apart from that which is God, is going to come into death. The end of all flesh is come to me, he said. So it says here that he took the two sons of Zebedee, this is verse 37, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. My soul, my soul, my soul. Why? Because you see, that woman in the garden, she was the living soul who became all of humanity. Every one of you became that woman. Do you understand?
Yes.
You became that woman. Don't just look at her and think, yeah, well, that was, you know, she messed it up for everybody. You know, it would have been better if she hadn't have been born or something. But you became that one. We are living souls. We have become living souls in our understanding. But only because the serpent had entered into our lives, and we began to listen to what he told us. And when he began to speak to us, and this mind became carnal, natural, operating according to this world in which we live, then we believed that we were separated from God. We believed that we were sinners. And I want to tell you tonight, if you believe that you're a sinner, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. When I say make it, I mean you're not going to walk on in God into the things that God is preparing today for them that love him. See? Because if you're a sinner, if you still believe you're a sinner, you are not going to come into the presence of God, and you never did come into the presence of God. And there are millions of people on this earth today that get in church and they raise their hand, we're worshiping God. Most of them are hiding behind trees. Most of them are hiding behind trees, and some of you probably are still hiding behind trees. Are you hearing this? I'm not going to leave you there. You're going to come out behind the trees before tonight's over. But you need to understand this. Nobody with any consciousness of sin will ever stand in the presence of God. Listen, between the holy place and the most holy place, there was a veil. This separated people from the place where God actually dwelt. He did not dwell in the outer court. He did not dwell in the holy place. He was in the most holy place. And when Paul says, don't you know your body is the temple of God? He was not talking about the outer court. He wasn't even talking about the holy place. He said, your body is the naos, the most holy place, the presence of the living God. And here you are, there's God dwelling inside you, but you don't even believe that that's who you are. It's incredible, isn't it? But this is the illusion of life. The illusion of life. And you know something that's very interesting about? It's this. Anybody that's walking under the illusion of life will never release anybody that's under the illusion of life. It'll take somebody that has stepped outside the illusion, that has come out from the hypnotic concepts that have been put upon us. We've been hypnotized by the snake. You know what a snake does? We've been hypnotized by the snake. And while you're hypnotized, you will never set anybody else free. Do you know what I see in this kingdom movement at the moment? I see a lot of caterpillars running around telling people how to become a butterfly. And if you want to know how to become a butterfly, ask the butterfly, not the grub. So you see, we have to understand that this hypnotic trance into which we've been put, you know, that was a trance that Adam was put into. That's what the Hebrew word says, it was a trance. He was asleep anyway. It was a trance. And while he was under that sleep, he could not know reality. That's why I'm telling you that the woman that was taken out of him, this is all part of the dream world. Your soul and spirit were never separated, not for 1 minute. You were never separated from God, not for 1 minute. Because if you were, you'd be dead. Because the life in you is God. Your body doesn't have any more life in it than a brick. You need to understand that. The only life that your body has is the life of God in you. When you go to sleep, who keeps your heart beating? Who is it that keeps your lungs working and all the other machinery that's going on in there? Who is it? It's Christ in you. He's your life. And as soon as that spirit leaves the body, you don't get up anymore. You're dead. So now we need to understand these things. And so here is Jesus Christ now, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Did you know that he's in the beginning of the book and he's at the end of the book? Amen. What is the first verse in the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What is the beginning? First fruits. That's what the Hebrew word is. First fruits. And who's the first fruit? Christ. So he's right in the very beginning of the book, and he's right at the end of the book. For the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let's get together. So here we are, Matthew 26. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. I want to tell you, we've all done a whole heap of damage to this world with our soul. The words we spoke at times in anger, the words that we spoke at times in ignorance, the words that we spoke that hurt people, How many young people have grown up with a problem because somebody said to them, "You'll never be any good"? I want to tell you, that's very real. There are people today that are living on the earth that have that inferiority thing, no sense of true self-worth, because somebody said, "You're no good." My soul is exceeding sorrowful. And so he is looking back now over the course of time, and he sees the sickness, he sees the pain, he sees the cancer, he sees the problems, he sees the people that have lost their loved ones, he sees husbands that have lost their wives, and wives that have lost their husbands, and families that have lost their children. All of these things. How many people are crying today in America because their sons never came back from Iraq? You see, all of these things. He saw the whole mess. And he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful." My soul. But that's you. That's you. You're the living soul. You're the living soul. He's speaking for us all. Can you hear this? He's speaking for us all. And he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And then the Father gives him a cup. The cup simply represents the will and purpose of God. Because in days gone by, you would seal a covenant by drinking out of a cup. In Africa, many years ago, the Mau Mau tribe, they had a kind of a initiation ceremony whereby they caught the blood of a goat in the cup. And then they passed the cup around. And everybody would drink from the cup, and you would become a Mau Mau warrior. And then they said, "No arrows will kill you. No guns will be able to shoot you. No knife will be able to cut you." And they walked out there fearlessly, that drunk from the cup, and become one in that work, in that situation. So God says to him, says to the Lord Jesus Christ, "I want you to drink this cup." And what is in this cup? In this cup is death. In this cup is death. "Lord, you want me to drink this cup?" "Yes, I do." Why? Because the end of all flesh has come before me. The end of all flesh. Death is in the cup. Are you willing to drink it? He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. I'm going to do your will, Father, whatever you want. If there's nobody else that can do it," the Father said, "there's nobody else. You're the only one. You're the only one." And I want to tell you tonight, the Father is passing the cup around here in this meeting. Come on, this is reality. I'm not preaching some Bible lesson. I'm preaching reality. God is speaking to you. And the cup is being passed around. He said, "I want you to drink it." Why? "The end of all flesh has come before me." I don't care how that flesh is manifest in your life. I don't care how what your thinking is. I don't care what's going on in your life. The end of all flesh is before me. Never mind about 20 years ago I gave my heart to Jesus, I'm a Christian. And then I was baptized in water, and I've been baptized in the Spirit, I speak in tongues. He said, "The end of all flesh is before me. The end of all flesh." Come on, I want you to drink the cup. "But Father, if it's possible, I don't want to drink this cup. If it's possible, let somebody else drink it." Why? Because you're not drinking this cup tonight just for you. You're drinking this cup for the world. This is the message. The kingdom message is not a parochial message just for we, us and co. It's not for people in church. This message is for the world. And when you drink that cup, you are drinking it for the world. The end of all flesh has come. You want to see the end of all flesh? You want to see the wars in this world disappear? You ought to see people and nations beating their guns and their tanks and their atomic bombs and their airplanes into plowshares. You ought to see them turning all of their energy into a harvest for God. Then we need to drink the cup. But there's death in the cup. There's death in the cup. I tell you, I've been so surprised. Christians don't like anybody talking about death. Don't talk to me about death. I'm born again of the Spirit of God. I've got eternal life. God bless you. Go out and enjoy it. Who's enjoying eternal life? I want to tell you, we don't even know what it means yet. Eternal life. Eternal life is not just living forever. Eternal life is a quality of life you haven't even dreamed about yet. We're going to speak into the nations. We're going to speak into the United Nations. We're going to speak into NATO. We're going to speak into the governments of our land. We're going to speak into that. We're going to send the anointing of God out to do what we could never do. This is a new day. This is a new ministry. This is a new life. There's death in the cup because the end of all flesh is come before me. He wants you to drink it tonight. Are you willing to die? Because one way or the other you're going to die. You're either going to go and you're going to die and some undertaker's going to get rich by your funeral. I had no idea years ago when my parents died how much those boxes are that they put the bodies in. And the fellow's showing me in the warehouse and he's saying, well, this one's $7,000. I said, well, you have a kind of a reject, you know, that. But you want your mother to have the best box? No, she doesn't know anything about it. Why do I have to get a satin-lined box for somebody that doesn't know anything about it? Death is death, come on. But we glorify it, we spend thousands of dollars on it. So, he wants you to drink the cup because I want to tell you, the end of all flesh has come. That's God, that's not me, I didn't say that. He said that, the end of all flesh has come before me. Beloved, this is a new day. You believe that? Amen. Then you better believe also that this means that the end of all flesh has come. So you might have got away with a lot of things up till now, but after this, you're not going to get away with it. So he took the cup. Jesus Christ took the cup. What was in it? Well, death was in it. And the Father said to him, I want you now to take your own humanity into death. And when you do that, you will take all of mankind with you. For he tasted death for every man. And that's what we rejoice in. Hallelujah! He died for me. I got news for you. That's the reason why we've got a religious world out there today that's absolutely crazy. We've got a religious world that is trying to preach what they call a gospel, which is not powerful enough to save even the church mice. But anyway, it's making a difference to some people. This is the day when God says, I am doing a new thing on the earth. A new thing. And I've got to wipe out this death thing. Everything that's causing death, I'm going to deal with it. Why? Because he said, I have given to you eternal life. But this life is in his Son. He hasn't given any one of you eternal life per se. He has given it to the Son.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, he said, I want you to take your humanity into death. So right at that moment, he said, yes, Father, I will. And at the very moment that you will drink that cup with him, you are abandoning your life. You're abandoning your life. Survival is one of the features of humanity. How many people, there have been people lost in the snow for several weeks in Australia. There was a man, supposedly 6 weeks, he wasn't in Australia, it was in the Himalayas or Himalayas, whatever you call them. And he was, I think, lost for 6 weeks. And they eventually found him, and he came back and thought it was a Nestle's chocolate bar that kept him awake or something, or whatever it was. You know, kept him alive. Because he had no food, and he just had the melted snow for water and so on. And so this man, he was telling everybody how he survived. See, survival is a part of the human instinct. I mean, you know, when something happens, we have a reaction. We have a double reaction, actually. It's fight or flight. So when something happens, or something surprises you, is what do? Run? Or just stand here and shake? See? So God says to you tonight, are you ready to die? That is, are you ready to die to your humanity? Because you can only live one life at a time. You understand this? One life at a time. At the moment you're living and breathing a mortal life, and you think you're going to receive eternal life and just keep on breathing the same way? No, there's another life that's coming for us. And in the end, when that life really starts to take hold on us and the transformation is complete, we will not be creatures that breathe through our nostrils. Because that's the differentiation. You see, the Bible says that God gave to the Son the right to have life in Himself. You don't have life in yourself. That's why you're still breathing. Why? Because if you don't breathe, you're dead. So your breath is giving you life. Why? Because breath and wind and spirit are the same word in the Greek language, pneuma. In the Hebrew language, breath and air and wind and spirit are all the one word. Ruach. It's the same. So you are breathing in life. You are breathing in life. Why? Because God fills the universe. Fills the atmosphere. And if it wasn't for the atmosphere of God that pervades on this earth, we'd all be dead. The very air that's around us is filled with God. Come on, breathe it in. Breathe it in. Because that's God. That's God. But see, we've got to be prepared to lay down this life. Oh, it's not going to change immediately. Don't try and stop breathing after this just for a minute. But see, this is where we're heading. But you've got to be prepared. If you drink this cup tonight, you are going to die to your humanity. For this is the whole message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is not give your heart to Jesus and go to heaven when you die. The message of the gospel is that you were born on this earth and that life has got no eternity attached to it. 70 years. I've gone past my use-by date. I'm still going. But it's okay. I'm not a pound of butter in the refrigerator in the store. Otherwise, that'd have diced me by now. But you see, when you drink that cup, you're ready to die. Die to who you thought you were. This human identity. So Jesus says, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but as you will. And he comes to the disciples, and what does he find? They're asleep. Well, Adam never woke up. Why not? They're still asleep. They're still asleep. And while you're sleeping, everything's fine. Yeah, just keep on breathing. So long as your lungs keep on breathing, your heart keeps on beating, everything's fine. And it says that he finds them asleep. And he says, couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And he went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came back and found they were still asleep. Still asleep. He's trying to wake them up. Isn't anybody going to drink this cup with me? You guys, you tell me you love me. You guys say, I'm your master. I'm going to drink this cup. Is there nobody going to share this thing with me? No, they're asleep. They didn't understand. It was not until after the resurrection that the disciples even had an inkling of what was going on. But they were the hallelujah group, you know, they were following Jesus, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And it says he left them and went again and prayed the third time. See, that's the completion. The third time. Saying the same words. And when he came to the disciples, he said, have a good sleep. Sleep on. Because the day is going to come when you will wake up. But this is that day. It was not that day in which we're reading here, historically. It was not that day. But this is the day when the end of all flesh, Father said, is come before me. The end of all flesh. Sleep on now. Take your rest. The hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. What happens? Judas comes along and kisses him. Whoa. Talk about betrayal. That was it. That's the ultimate betrayal. Judas comes along and kisses him. Then the soldiers follow. And what do? They arrest Jesus. They arrest him. I don't know whether they tied his hands behind his back. I don't know whether they had handcuffs and those. I don't know what they had. But they arrested him. And they march him off down the road as a common criminal. And the disciples are kind of looking. What the dickens is going on? I thought he was the Lord of all creation. I thought he was the Lord God Almighty. I thought that he was the Son of the living God. I mean, we've seen him. He walked on the water. He stopped the storm. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, he raised the dead. And these guys have arrested him. He's walking down the road there like a common criminal. Hey, I don't understand this. Jesus, do something. You can get out of that. You can kill the whole lot of them. You can wipe out the Roman army if you want to. Come on, do something. But he didn't do it. Why? He had drunk the cup. He wasn't looking for survival. He was looking for death. He had drunk the cup. Beloved, from the moment he drank that cup, he was headed for death. And if you'll drink that cup tonight, from that very moment, you will be headed for death. But I'm not talking about physical death. Come on, don't get all upset. I'm not talking about you having a heart attack and passing out on me. Oh, no, no, no. I'm talking about a death which is a spiritual death that will get rid of that flesh that has been our problem all these years. We want to get rid of it. We sing about getting rid of it. We talk about walking in the holiness of God and so on. This is your big chance as we share that cup with him tonight. We're going to walk into a new life. I want to tell you, people think that immortality is Des Walter being on this earth for the next 10,000 years as Des Walter. And I've said to many people, if that's true, I'm going to ask God for a refund. Because that's not what I bought into. That is not what I agreed with God. I've had enough of Des Walter. 74 years is a pretty good run. And I'm ready, Lord. And I've drunk that cup with him. because my life is no longer my own. My life does not belong to me. I have no rights anymore to say I will do this, I will do that, I'll do something else. These are his hands. These are his feet. This is his mouth. I don't own it anymore. This body is simply a vessel. It is the temple of the living God, so that God can manifest himself to this world. You see?
Amen.
So he's marching down the road. There is a common criminal. Why doesn't he retaliate? Why doesn't he exercise his power? Because he's become one with you. Come on. You're looking at him down there. That's not the Son of God anymore. That's you. Oh, he's still the Son of God. But you understand what I'm saying? He's not now walking as the Son of God. He's not operating out of that sonship. He's not operating out of that life of God. He's operating out of the life that you have tonight. The same life. The same life. He's working. He's living out of it. The soldiers have got him. They're all surrounding him. They're not going to let him get away, but he's not trying to get away. He's not trying to run away. He's not trying to fight with them. He's just going where they want him. And they take him down to the judgment hall. And they strip him naked. And they beat him with the Roman lash. The Roman lash that literally takes the meat off your bones and makes his back like scrambled egg. I mean, it was just a mess. And then they put a purple robe on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Why? Why is he letting all this happen to him? He doesn't have to do that. He's the Son of God. We're Christians. Come on, Lord. You've got to bless me. Don't give me a heart attack. Don't let anything happen to me. I'm one of your children, Lord. Please help me. But he became what you are. He became what I am. Down there in that judgment hall, he became exactly what we are. Could you have done anything if you'd been there? I don't think so. The Roman army had a hold of you. You and I can't fight the Roman army. And he became one with us. You see, when he took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, he became what you are. He became what you are. Can you hear this? You think he knows about our humanity? Of course he does. He lived on this earth after the Garden of Eden experience for 930 years. Don't tell me he didn't know about this life. He lived there like you and I. He lived under that illusion. Because of the separation of the soul and the spirit, he could not function as the Christ. Even though Christ was in him. Just as Christ is in you today, but you can't function as the Christ because of the separation of the soul and the spirit. And God said, I've got to put this back together again for you. I've got to put it back together. And you see, the reason why they're still separated is because the soul, the woman, can't find her lover. Can't find her lover. Why not? Because there's a veil between them. Every time the soul looks across where the spirit should be, what does she see? She sees the flesh. She said, that's not my beloved. That's not my beloved. My beloved is not flesh and blood. My beloved is mine. And I am his. The banner over us is love. So you see, the soul and the spirit must come back together again. The flesh has got to be destroyed. Do you know that Christendom for 2,000 years has struggled and fought and done everything they can to survive in order that they might win the battle that they set out to win? And you know what it was? To get Adam converted. That's what they want to do, to get Adam converted. And I want to tell you, some of you people have had the same idea. You're going to get Adam converted. What you are in your natural being, God, I'm a Christian, I'm born again of the Spirit of God, I'm a Son of God. We've got people running around today. I am that I am. Who are you? I am. I am that I am. We're running around with all this stuff. We're talking out the back of our neck, you know. We're not talking sense. But we're telling people, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I'm a son of the living God. Had a man down there in one of the meetings after I'd finished preaching, got up and said, I'm a manifested son. Don't tell me it's down the road somewhere. I'm already a manifested son. I was looking for the light, but I couldn't see any light shining out of him. Beloved, you've got to drink the cup, and in the cup is death. 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 Can you hear this? Why do Christians all they want you to talk about is life, life. I want life, I want life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. He said, I've come to give you life, but you're going to get it the way he said you're going to get it. And that life is going to come out of death. It's resurrection life. It's not ordinary human life. It's resurrection life. And you can't have a resurrection if you're not dead. You got it? Okay. So they mocked him. They put a reed in his hand. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews. Look at him. What a mess. This man with blood running down his face. This man, probably three parts dead at that point already, because that Roman lash, I tell you, I have seen, well, replicas of it anyway. And I wouldn't like to be beaten with it. I reckon 40 stripes could kill a man. But he endured that. Why? He'd drunk the cup. He was made to be sin for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm showing you the scriptures because I want you to know that I haven't just made this up. This is Father speaking to you. Verse 21. For God has made him, Jesus Christ, to become the man of sin. That's what he's done. From the time he was in the garden, when he drank that cup, he had become the man of sin. That's you and I. Can you grab this? Can you understand this tonight? We're not talking about the Son of the Living God living, you know, and the glory of God and all the manifestations of heaven around him and so on, and all the angels ministering. He became the man of sin. Who was that? Adam. That was Adam. What do you do with Adam? Kill him. There's nothing else you can do with Adam. The religious world and the snake has told you, but we're converted. Yes, you know, Lord, thank you. I'm born again of the Spirit of God. I received Jesus Christ into my heart and my life, and now I'm no longer a mortal human being. Now I'm a son of God. Come on. This is the day of reality. This is the day of reality. And so it says here that the Father has made him to be the man of sin. For us. He knew no sin. He had never sinned. Adam never sinned in the garden. For he was Christ. But he never sinned in the garden. Why not? Because he never talked to the snake. Had nothing to do with the snake. What he did because he wanted to do it. He did it because he knew the will of God. He did it because, in a sense, he drank the cup right there. Right. And he said, I'm willing to die in order to bring this woman back into the fold. In order to bring this woman out of her humanity and out of the sin and degradation and sickness and pain and death and all these other things. I have eaten this fruit so that I can redeem her. And that's you. You're the woman. You're the woman. And see, we want to preserve our life. We want to keep our life. We want to live this life. We want glory, glory, hallelujah. You know, that's what we want. But we haven't faced the death yet. So tonight, He says, I want you to drink this cup with me. I want you to drink this cup, Father. If the end of all flesh has come before you, that's my flesh you're talking about. I'm willing to lay it down. I'm willing to lay it down. But you're scared. You're scared. What's going to happen? Lord, if I lay down my life, I might die. I mean, can I really be confident that I won't end up in the cemetery? I mean, you asked me to lay down my life. Can I really have confidence that this is the way into life? Yes, Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. Door into what? Whatever God has for you. He's the door. He became the door. He was the door into the ark. And I want to tell you, just going back to the ark just for a minute, God did not take Noah and his family out of the judgment that was on them all. There was no rapture there. He remained there. And all he had between him and the judgment of God that was going to destroy all flesh was a thin piece of wood with some pitch on either side. And that pitch represents the separation of our humanity from us so that we can receive the life of God. It's the atonement. That's what the pitch represents. The atonement. Noah was not taken out of the judgment. He was simply insulated from it. And the judgment simply lifted him up. Hallelujah! You want to be lifted up tonight? He was lifted up and to the top of the mountain that you tried to climb and you couldn't make it. But now in the ark, you're being lifted up onto the top of the mountain. While the flesh is being destroyed all around you. This is life. This is life. I want to make this so plain to you tonight. That you can see it, that you can feel it in your bones. This has to become a reality in your life. That, beloved, it's time. The game is over. The game is over. We're going to walk into a reality because we're not affecting society yet like we should do. I'm not affecting society yet like I need to. But we're going to change this world for you and I. Are going to become the sons of the living God when we have the same life that he has now. How did he get that life? He went through death. That's how he got it. He came down from the Father. You say, but he was okay. He came from the Father. Yeah, he came from the Father. What did he do? He became one with us. Do you know that Jesus Christ is no different from you, or you are no different from what Jesus Christ was on this earth. You are no different. I had a lady jump up in a meeting and said, that can't be true. And I said, well, I'm just a young man, help me, will you? Tell me, what's wrong? She said, because Jesus was born without an earthly father. I said, yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it? And so are you. You've been born without an earthly father too. Come on! This is your reality. You came out of God. Your body came out of your parents. Not you. You are spirit. You are spirit. Come on. If you lost your body today, would you be dead? No. Moses was on the top of the mount with Jesus thousands of years after he was been on this earth. Elijah was there with Jesus on the top of the mountain. Thousands of years after he'd been on the earth. They're still alive.
Yes.
Why? Because the life in you is the life of God. But see, it's been in competition with another life. That life could not truly manifest itself because there was another life that had taken over. Our humanity had stifled the life of Christ that's within us. God made him to be the man of sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So it's death. It's death. The end of all flesh has come before me. The end of all flesh. Beloved, tonight, God is dealing with you as he's dealing with me. I'm not preaching at you tonight. I'm sharing out of my own life, out of my own experience. I'm sharing what God is saying to us all, including myself. Father is saying, will you drink this cup with me tonight? Will you drink this cup that Jesus Christ drank 2,000 years ago? Because if you'll drink that cup, I will take you to the cross. The cross is not a physical experience. When the Passion film first came out, people said to me, are you going to see it? I said, no, I don't think I will. And they said, why not? I said, because I have an idea it will simply glorify that which is physical and material and human. And I don't think that was the real issue. What happened at that cross, very few people in this world have yet seen. The reality of that cross was not the pain and suffering that his body went through. It was not the beating on his back. It was not hanging there on a cross with nails through his hands and his feet. It was not the blood that came from his head. It was not the nail pierce, the nail prints in his hand. That was not the real issue. That was to get rid of his humanity. It had to die. It had to die. For the end of all flesh is come before me, saith the Lord. The end of all flesh. God does not recognize the flesh anymore. Therefore, whatever we try to do, I don't care what you do today in terms of, you know, what we're doing for God or with God or what you think God is doing on the earth, if you are not walking in the Spirit, in the presence of the living God doing his will, it will come to absolutely nothing, regardless of how clever, how smart we may be. So, he went to the cross. And there they just laid the cross down. He had to get somebody to help him to carry the cross in the end. They laid him on that cross and they hammered the nails through his hands and his feet. And he never spoke a word. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. A lamb to the slaughter. A lamb does not make a noise. You can kill a lamb and you will not hear a sound. I have seen it many, many times. The lamb will not make a sound. There's no struggle. Why? Because the lamb has no defense mechanism. The lamb cannot defend itself. It says to you, what do you want to do to me? You want to hurt me? Go ahead, I can't stop you. Says, you want to kill me? Go ahead, I can't stop you. Whatever you want to do, this is the lamb. This was the lamb. That's the nature of God. The nature of non-resistance. That's why you can do what you like. You know, a lot of people have got the idea, well, I'm a Christian, you see. And I say, well, could you go out and get drunk tonight? Oh, no, God wouldn't let me. I said, I got news for you. He wouldn't stop you. Why not? Because God has determined that whatever he is doing on this earth and whatever end there is to be to his work on the earth, it will be accomplished through one thing and one thing only, and that is L-O-V-E, love. God will never use force. God will never bring you into conflict over your will. You hear this? God will never try to change your will. That's why Jesus said, when he was confronted with the cup, not my will, Lord, not my will, not what I might think or want to do or whatever, but thy will. Thy will. And until you choose thy will, until you choose God's will, you can do what you want. Anything you want.
Amen.
You want to go out tonight and commit adultery? Hey, don't expect God to stand in front of you and say, hey, I'm not going to do that. If you want to go out tonight and get drunk, don't think God's going to stop you. Because your will, he will not violate. He will never violate your will. Isn't that wonderful? He's waiting for you to say, not my will, O Lord, but thine be done. Oh, he said, I want you to drink the cup. I want you to drink the cup. Which says, Lord, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to forsake what I am in this natural life. I'm willing to forsake my humanity. All my understanding and everything else and whatever I've done, Lord, if I gave my heart to Jesus, well, I put it all there. You can have the whole lot, Lord. I just want to do your will. I'm willing to step into death. Why? Because I tell you, when you were created, God put a seed in you. God put a seed in you. And the sower went forth and sowed the seed into all of humanity. And that seed is Christ. The seed is in you. You see, this is your lifeline, if you like. What is it? God says, I want you to drink the cup. It's death. I'm willing to face death. Why? Because there's a seed in me. Come on, there's a seed in you. That seed is Christ. In that seed is eternal life. In that seed is the very life of God. What do you want tonight? You want another 10 years with the frogs? You know, Moses said to Pharaoh, when do you want to get rid of the frogs? Oh, he said, maybe tomorrow will do. Okay, you can have the frogs for another night if you want it. Another 10 years, whatever you want. But God says to you tonight, I want you to drink this cup. I want you to begin to say, I'm willing to die. Not only am I willing, I want to die. I want to die. Why do I want to die? Because that seed in you has a new life in it, and that's the life that I want to live. That's what I want. I want the seed. I want the life in that seed. I'm through with this one here, which didn't come from that seed. It came from an egg and a sperm. Oh. I want the life in this seed. What do you want? You want the life in the seed, or do you want the life that you've got now? Because you cannot have the two. You can only have one life at a time. You can only live one life at a time. And God says, you drink this cup, and you and I will go to the cross together. That's what the Christ says. We'll go to the cross together. So tonight, as we walk that road, the Dolorosa, as we walk that road with him, he said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. We walk the Dolorosa. That's what we're walking, beloved. But you know where it leads? It leads to the cross. What's the cross? That's death. He said, but I want to get life. That's why I came. That's why I'm following Jesus, because I want to get life. Well, if you're following Jesus Christ, you're going to go to the cross. It's death. That's where you're going to go. You're going to go to the place of death. It's the place of the skull. You know what a skull is? It's an empty head. Because God's going to get rid of this nonsense that's in here. And he's going to put something inside here which is part of the new life of God in me. It's the life of the seed that's going to go between my ears. The life of the seed. And you see, a caterpillar, when you look at a caterpillar, you know, I've said to the caterpillar many times, you know, listen, I know that there's a butterfly right inside you. Oh, I said, you're crazy. No, I said, it's true. You see, I've been to school. You know, I know about these things. You're just a dumb, you know, grub. But I want to tell you, there's a butterfly inside you. And you really can fly. If you wanted to, you could fly. And this is what we're telling the world today. If you wanted, you can fly, beloved. You can fly. Well, you gave your heart to Jesus, didn't you? You asked him to come into your heart. Haven't you been baptized in water? And he said the right words over you? And didn't you get baptized in the Spirit? And didn't you speak in tongues? Come on, you can fly! Why can't you? Because you've never died, that's why. You've never died. You've never died. All you wanted to do was to live. And Jesus Christ, in that Garden of Gethsemane, he made up his mind. He decided. His will said, I'm ready to die. I just want to take you with me. Because I know what this is going to mean. I know that there will be a death. I know that you will squirm and carry on, you know, because he was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We didn't even want to look at him because his visage was so marred more than any man. We said, Lord, I don't want that. He said, I want to take you with me because what you want, I know what you want, and this is the pathway that you will receive it. Death is in the cup. You need to drink it with him. Beloved, tonight, are you willing to come with him? Have you drunk from that cup with him? Said, Lord, I'm willing to die. This is the only answer for my life. I've made enough mess in my life for a dozen of you people. And I'm finished with that. I said, Lord, I want to die. So I walked to the cross with him. Would you stand with me just for a minute? No, not physically. Will you stand with me at the cross? We're looking up into the face of the one that's hanging there now. We're looking up into the face of the Christ of God. But he's no longer the Christ of God. For the Apostle Paul said, there was a first Adam, and there was a last Adam. And so when God made him to be the man of sin, he became the last Adam. Because from Adam, the man in the garden, after taking the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there was a generation that came from him, a generation of people. For 4,000 years, there was a generation of people that came out of that man, from that man. And the last one in that generation was Jesus Christ. He had the power to end that generation. He has the power in the year 2004 in Winston-Salem to end your physical, your material, your human manifestation of life. He has the power to end it tonight. And that you might begin to live out of a new life that will let you fly. And everything that Jesus did, he said, you can do also. Why haven't we done it? Because we never followed him to the cross. We left him back in the garden. We were still asleep while all this is going on. We are sleeping while he is redeeming the world. But tonight, I'm looking up into his face. And I'm not looking at Jesus anymore. For as I look, I see something very familiar about this one that's dying there. As I look into his face, I suddenly realize, that's me. That's me. That's you. That's you. He did not die instead of you. If you believe that, you'll never have eternal life. Listen, he died as me. I died in him. You died in him. I want you to look up into the face of that one tonight and to see in him your true identity. I want you to see that he is setting the example for you. And he's saying, I've taken you in me. You are in me. And I've taken all of you into death in the cross. But you have to see yourself there. This has to become your reality. Not just to believe 2,000 years ago a man went to the cross and died for our sin. No, no, no. You were there. This is your death. 2,000 years ago, that is your death. That's the death that you receive when you drink the cup of the Lord. When you drink that cup of the Lord. When you drink His blood. Every time you drink His blood, you are drinking His death in order that that blood might become your life. But see, His blood was poured out. His blood was poured out. What for? For the salvation of the world. Listen, are you willing to pour out your blood for the salvation of the world? Then you need to go to the cross too. And let that last drop of mortal blood fall to the ground. For in that seed is a new life. And He said, whoso drinketh of My blood will live forever. There's a new life that's there. But you have to pass through death to get it. The cross is the missing ingredient in the messages that are being preached in most of the world today. What are they telling people? Christ died for me. Christ died for you. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to heaven now. See? And nothing changes. Because we're simply trying to get Adam converted. That's all we're doing. And you're wasting your time. You are wasting your time. You will never convert Adam. For in Adam all die. But in Christ, when you see yourself in Him, the all are made alive. The all, that's us. Hallelujah. So, here's the Christ on the cross, that's you. And I want you to watch right to the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, He said, it is finished. The work of redemption is finished. Beloved, we are the saviors of the world. You understand? We are the saviors of the world. You say, but that was Jesus Christ. Yes, who are you? Who are you? You Christ? Are you Christ? Well, He's the savior of the world. Therefore, your blood must also be shed. That's your death. That's your death. They took that body down. They wrapped it in grave clothes. They carried it down the hill. This is you. You've died now. You drank the cup. You've entered into His death. Des Walter does not exist anymore. He's dead. And they laid my body in the tomb. Well, my body's got no life in it. The spirit has left. The spirit has left. So now, I'm lying there. I see my body in that little rock tomb. And they locked the tomb up. But on the resurrection morning, I came back. And I looked in there. There is nobody. There is nobody. Des Walter is dead. And he's gone. Des Walter does not exist anymore. Can we grab this tonight? Can you understand this? This is not some, you know, we imagine that that was my death. We imagine it was, you know, like I died in Him and I was buried in Him. No, no, this is reality. If I died in Him, I do not exist anymore. Des Walter does not exist. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, but it's no longer me that lives. He didn't say, well, this is Paul. I died in him, but now Paul lives because I died. No, 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 no. Come on. I want to tell you that when Jesus died on that cross, and Christ couldn't die because He's eternal, He's spirit anyway, He couldn't die. It was Jesus that died on the cross, and He was the last Adam. The last Adam. And at the end, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And as soon as He did that, He was dead. Crucifixion is a very slow death. And the two thieves were still alive. They were still alive. Why? Because Jesus said, I've got power to lay down my life. I've got power to take it again. Listen to me. You've got power to lay down your life tonight. You've got power to lay down your life. You hearing me? You've got power. Why do you have power to lay down your life? Because you're already dead. That was your death. That was your death. Calvary was not just the death of Jesus. It was the death of every man on the face of the earth.
Right.
And when you believe it, something's going to die in you that you want to get rid of for a long time. And there may be a day or two when you're kind of wondering what's happened to you. The whole world's topsy-turvy and you don't know where you are. You don't know which way's up. But see, on that resurrection morning, it was only a two-day wait. That's all it was. But see, on the resurrection morning, because the seed was in you, the seed was in you. What happened? There's nobody there. What's happened? Jesus did not come out of the tomb. Some people want to eat me for that, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus didn't come out of the tomb, because if he did, Des Walter came out of the tomb. And then I'm going to ask God for a refund, because that's not what I wanted. I mean, if I went to all the trouble and I died in him, I didn't want to come out of the tomb. I mean, when you're dead, you're dead, and just let it be buried, and that's the end, and let the dead bury the dead. That's what I say, because I agree with Jesus. That's what he said. But see, there was nobody there. Why? What was it that came out of the tomb? It was the Christ of the living God, the Christ of God, able to do anything he wants to do. He said, the works that I do, you can do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. And here we are. We're not in there anymore. But what about the body? What happened to it? Oh, he will not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Oh, no. Why? Because, you see, in the tomb, the Christ, the seed that was in me, the seed was the seed of God, and it burst into life. Because the life that I had is now gone. And he said, you're going to live now like you've never lived before. I will not change my life for anything in this world. I want to tell you, the life God has given me today and the things that God is doing in my life, I wouldn't swap it with anybody. I don't care how many millionaires there are in the world with their big limousines and their million-dollar houses and so on. I want to tell you, I'm a son of God and I'm enjoying living in another realm which is in God today. This is a new creation that's come forth. This is the new creation man that comes out of the tomb. How does it work? It works this way. When they put my body in there, the seed began to explode inside me. That seed began to put its roots down into my humanity. Because you always plant a seed in the soil. And that seed began to put down its roots and suck up whatever it is in my humanity. And what happens? He transforms it into living tissue. And when the process was finished, in that night, or the 2 days in the tomb, on the third day, he'd finished the work, because he had drawn up all that I was in the past, all of my humanity, the earthiness of my being, and I became the Christ. For I was swallowed up into him. That's what you wanted, isn't it? You wanted to be the Christ. That's how you do it. Jesus never came out of the tomb, but the Christ did. The Christ did. That is the reality. Beloved, tonight, God says, will you drink this cup with me? Will you come and face the cross and lay down your life? And I'm not asking you to do it just for yourself. This is the thing. We are the saviors of the world. And you will not be a savior as a mortal human being. You will be a savior when your life, the blood is drained from your body, and a new life which does not come through your nostrils, but a new life that is put within us, a seed that has exploded into its own manifestation, begins to function in you, and you become a son of God. May the Lord bless you tonight and encourage you. And please don't let the seed just be taken by the birds tonight. But let this word remain in your heart until it has accomplished everything that God wants to do. Amen.